Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Down, so don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy.
Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this.
Don't worry.
It will soon pass, whatever it is.
Don't worry, be happy. not worried. I'm happy.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authorist Terry E. Lyle. Well, for anyone who don't know, I'm getting better now. I've been dealing with bronchitis for the last 3 weeks, but I'm starting to take a turn for the best. But I just want to thank all my listeners from North, South, and East to West, and I'd like to thank the people in Hawaii, the ones in the United States, and Canada, the United Kingdom, Pakistan, Peru, Cameroon, and Nigeria, Africa, the ones in Australia, Singapore, France, and Iraq. You know, I'm just so stoked that, you know, since I've been on the air, you know, it's been growing globally, and I appreciate that. And I think the reason is because everyone who knows me, this is an adult show. I don't sugarcoat it. I say what I mean and mean what I say. And my guests are entitled to that same privilege because, hey, this show is not for kids. That's the fact. And the show is called Unmasked, so we're going to go deep. You know, so we talk about everything. And the more the bizarre it is, the better that I like it. You know, and I don't know where my co-hosts are today, Strawberry and Felicia, but wherever they at, I hope they're safe. You know, and also I just want to thank everybody on Facebook who have gave me an outpouring of love and support and well wishes and remedies to deal with so I can get better. I appreciate y'all because people give Facebook people a bad rap and always try to make it sound like they're bad. But, you know, the fans and the people who are just friendly, you know, they have been showing me so much love. And you know, when you're going through something, it's so good to have, you know, somebody going through the storm with you. And I've been through the storm. It's still raining a little bit, but I'm positive. By the grace of God, I'm still here, and I'm grateful for that. You know, and our guest tonight, Joseph, he's going to show people and tell them, you know, a lot of interesting facts, how you can make yourself wealthy, you know, just by, you know, thinking positive, being motivated, you know, thinking the way that, you know, to embrace what the atmosphere brings to you. If you got love and optimism and all this kind of stuff, you will get those kind of things coming back at you. You know, so, you know, Joseph, we love this guy. You know, we're glad he spent the time to be here tonight. And already I got somebody on the line that want to talk to him. But first I want to introduce Joseph, let him say hello. And then we're going to open up this line because I don't recognize this number. And Joseph, how you doing, sugar?
Hi, Terry. I'm doing great. How are you doing? I'm glad you're feeling better. Yeah.
Yes, I am, darling. I am so glad about that. I'm so happy. So I know you wrote one book. Is that the only book? Have you wrote a couple of books?
No, I've written, I think, 11 books now. And
shut
I
up!
Have about five.
Oh.
Yeah, I have five more. I have five more in coming through. So, yeah, almost 20, actually, altogether. But 11 published so far.
Well, see, I know good and well I got to get you back on this show because if you got that many books, there's some topic, there's some meat I can jump on, you know, and the grittier that it is, the better it's going to be. Oh, baby, I got to reschedule you to talk about some of your other stuff. Go on now with your bad self, Joseph. Oh, I'm scared of you. But, Joseph, I'm going to open this mic for the caller. Last four digits is 8222. Let them talk at you and make a comment. Hello, caller.
You bet.
Who are you? Caller with the number 8222 at the end. Would you like to talk? You hit the number 1 key like you wanted to make a comment. Well, Joseph, I guess that person is shy. I'm going to put their mic back and mute. Are you here? Caller?
Well, they could be on mute, too.
Well, no, I just unmuted there. Oh, yeah, caller, is your particular phone, is it muted? Because your line is live and well, and we're waiting to talk to you, and your last four digits is 8222. Okay. Well, it is what it is. If you want to say something else, just hit the number 1 key, and I'll get back to you. Okay, Joseph, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you started, and how you get to be the owner of all this literary work that's out here. And I'm sure there's going to be some stuff in there that I'm going to want to hear about. So you better give us some of them titles. Start from 1 to right now.
Well, you know, it all started, I'm sure everybody's heard or listened to Steve Jobs' commencement ceremony at Stanford, where he talks about when you after you go through life a little bit, you can go back and connect the dots. And so when you ask me where did it all start, that's what I've done. I've gone back and connected the dots. And it actually started in a motel room in a border town called Nogales, Arizona, when I was when I was 8 years old. And my great-great uncle was Grady Gamage. He was the founder and first president of ASU, Arizona State University at Tempe. And so I grew up in San Diego. And so every summer we would drive over to visit relatives. And on the way back, on the way back to San Diego, we'd always stop at different places. And, you know, of all the places we stopped at, the only one I remember is Nogales, Arizona. And the reason I remember that, now I'm 8, maybe 9 years old. I was lying in the motel room. And a wave, now the only way I know how to describe it, because when you have these experiences, we really don't have the syntax to explain it. But I was lying there in bed, and just a wave of grace, a wave of love just went through me. And I didn't know what it was. Nothing like that had ever happened to me. Nobody had ever talked to me about these things. And then but it felt good, and it definitely made an impression on me. And then and so that's going to figure later in the story as I relate things. But that's where it all started, Terry. And then when I was 11 years old, well, up to that point, up to the point when I was 11 years old, you know, I was very creative. I was writing a lot of poetry, a lot of prose. I was reading a lot of biographies. I was memorizing entire stanzas of Shakespeare and reciting them. So I was very creative. But when I was 11 years old, I was molested in the library.
Wait a minute, Joseph. Are you telling me that your behind was reading Shakespeare around the age of 11?
Yep, I was reading it, memorizing it, reciting it, you know, acting it out in my bedroom, you know.
That's some heavy duty shit for a child. For come on now, baby, you must be a your left brain must be really kicking in.
but the point I want to drive home to your listeners, Terry, is when I was 11, I was molested in the library. And all that creativity shut down. It all stopped. And I became very depressed, very introverted, reclusive. And it wasn't until 1988. So I had never spoken to anybody about this molestation. Right, and if
can we stop right there? Because I'm a little concerned. Because you know the way I was raised, I always thought when I go to a library, what I've been to, there've always been librarians at the counter. There always been ones walking through. How could someone molest you in a library and they not hear the confusion? I don't get that.
Well, it was a. It was the Seattle Public Library, and if your listeners know that library, when you walk in, I haven't been back for all these years, but at the time when you walked in, the librarian desk was on your right. There was maybe, I believe, three librarians at the time, and you walk straight down to the last aisle and then make a right and you go back against the wall. So there's only one entrance and it's the history section. And I remember I was looking for a book on the Custer's Last Stand. And so there's one entrance into that section, and the books are up against the wall. And there's only, of course, there's only one way out. Well, this fellow had come in. So I was, you know, browsing through the books, and this, you know, I don't remember how tall he was. I remember him as being really tall. And he came in, and he stood beside me, and he acted like he was browsing as well. Mm-hmm. And then he molested me. And and you know, I talk about angels being with you, right? Well, mm-hmm. for some reason he got scared, and he leapt. He turned around, and he didn't run, but he was walking very quickly. But I remember I followed him out just out of the exit of that section to a couple aisles over, and I didn't go any further. But I remember watching him walk past the librarians. And, you know, I'm 11 years old. I'm thinking, why don't they stop him? You know, of course, they didn't know.
That was
my 11-year-old mind. I'm saying, well, stop him. And I it's as clear as day. He walked out the door, the glass door, and he looked to the left, and then he walked up the hill. And, you know, it's but that's how it happened. But anyway, so, you know, one of the things about abuse like that is that you keep it secret. You don't talk about it. And that's what makes it so where it eats up at you. Well, anyway, in 1988, I had met a man named John Lawrence, and he was 90 years old, and he had asked me to come and visit one morning. And he was a real interesting guy, and I really didn't know him that well, so I wanted to get to know him and talk. You know, I love talking to people in their 90s about history and stuff. So I went over. And he wanted to meditate. So we sat down, and we had a coffee table in between us, and we began meditating. And he, sometime during the meditation, his foot kicked the leg of the coffee table. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was 90 years old. So I didn't want to interrupt the meditation, but I wanted to make sure he was okay. So I kind of just, you know, opened my eyes just a little bit, right? To see mm-hmm. that he was okay. And he was. But Terry, his eyes looked like saucers, and they were staring above my head, and his mouth was open. And then he all of a sudden he composed himself, and he closed his eyes and began meditating again. And so I continued meditating with him. And then at the end of the meditation, he excused himself, and he came back, and he handed me a crucifix made from wood from Bethlehem. And he said, this is what I saw hovering above your head. And I didn't know what to say. I mean, nothing like that had ever happened. I mean, what do you
Let
say?
Let me ask you this then, Joseph. Do you think that what he said by saying a crucifix above your head, does that mean that he was trying to, like, say that you were blessed or protected? I mean, because to me, I would see it as a good thing.
He didn't know what it meant. Mm-hmm. And you know, I didn't ask him, and he didn't offer it. I was just, I remember just being like, I didn't know if I believed him or not. But he had no ulterior purpose to do that. I mean, you know, so anyway, so I took the crucifix, and I carry it with me to this day, wherever I go. It's in my pocket. But I walked, when it was time to leave, I walked out to the car. I got in the car, and I closed the door normally, you know, like you close the door. But Terry, when I closed the door, I heard this terrific bam.
Whoa! What happened?
My car, my car and myself were encased in a bubble of white light. And I can't tell you how I got home.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember. But when I got home, I sat down to eat. And my wife had lunch ready for me. I sat down to eat. I took the food on the fork to my mouth, and I couldn't get it closer than about 8 inches to my mouth. The vibration of the food was so slow compared to the vibration of the light I was in. I couldn't get the food. I couldn't eat for a week. So,
what?
And my wife didn't know what to think. She said, well, what's going on? I don't know. I can't. So anyway, this bubble of white light, and back at that time, people were writing books about the white light. They were saying it was the ultimate spiritual experience and all this stuff. Well,
that's what people have
this near-death
experience, though. The white light people talk about is when...
I didn't know what to think of it, but it dissipated over about a week. And then, that was 1988, and about 5 years later, take a one-week workshop because I wanted to get back into that white light. I wanted, you know, that was my ego, right? My ego wanting to manipulate all this. So, and that's why I took the workshop. Well,
mm-hmm.
The workshop started on a Sunday. A Wednesday evening, we had a deep breathing exercise. So it was in the evening. The lights were out. It was dark. They had music playing. We were lying on our backs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were just deep breathing. And after a while, the facilitator said, we're going to end the session in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I opened my eyes. Now, the room's still dark. I opened my eyes, and I saw a pair of eyes above me.
Really?
And I thought they were my mother. All I saw were the eyes, nothing else. I thought they were my mother's, but I couldn't tell. She had passed away a couple years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, the eyes expanded, and it was Mother Mary. And she began bathing me in beams of gold and white light until the end of the session. And then she was gone. Now, again, that is not why I took the workshop. I wasn't expecting that. But it happened, and I didn't know what to make of it. I assumed it was a blessing of some kind.
Yeah,
and,
to this day, have you come to grips with the fact that maybe you have been visited on several occasions by angels? Because I do believe that they walk among us, and I do believe they visit us and disappear.
Well, you see, all my books are four stanzas of poems. They're books of poetry, but they're all four stanzas of poems that we call Love Notes for Your Soul. And these are... these are from Mary Magdalene, and the way I know that is after that session with Mother Mary, after that experience with Mother Mary, in 2003, I heard they were going to have another breathing workshop at the Mission San Luis Rey in Oceanside, California. That's one of the 21 California missions, and it's associated
with
Mother Mary. I've been
there before. It's beautiful down at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
El Camino
Real.
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
It's associated with Mother Mary. So I thought, maybe I'll be able to have another vision of Mary, Mother Mary, if I take this one. So I decided to take it, and on Friday night I announced to my class that there wouldn't be any Saturday classes, that I was taking a workshop. That's all I told them. And so when I was locking up the building, one of the parents came up and they asked me, well, why are you taking the workshop? And Terry, without thinking, just out of my mouth came, oh, to meet Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
And I'm driving home.
What?
I'm driving home and I'm thinking, Mary Magdalene, why did I tell her that? I don't have any interest in Mary Magdalene. Well, anyway, the facilitator says, okay, we're going to do a deep breathing, and we're going to do it now. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, all the lights are on. And he says, we're going to do it with the lights on, and we're going to be, and we're going to do it sitting up in the chairs. And, you know, my ego is saying, oh, no, no, no. No, this has to be the way it was originally, right? Nighttime, lights out, you know. But, you know, I'm not gonna make a scene. So I participate. I sit in the chair, and we start the breathing. Well, in through the door comes Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene. And I didn't know it was Mary Magdalene at that time. And they have these long black capes on. And they come through the door. They come right up to me. And they're very playful. They're giggling. They're wrapping the capes around me, just teasing me. And then Mother Mary said, okay, I want you to go to the floor. And I swear, Terry, the instant she said that, the facilitator said, okay, everyone to the floor. So I laid on my back on the floor, my lap, my head was in Mary's lap, and Mary Magdalene was hovering above me. And she entered my body, and she healed me. Molestations.
She healed you
now,
from what?
She didn't heal me of the molestations.
Oh, okay.
Of the sexual molestations. And now, she didn't heal me 100% because there were still some things I had to do. But she healed me to the point where I could finally begin talking about them.
Right.
And talking about them in interviews, writing about them, and so on. Well, over the course of the years, she stayed in contact with me. And then in December night in 2012, she woke me up at 2 a.m., and she had me come to my writing desk, and she began transmitting these four stanzas of poems that talk about, you know, just success principles, basically. And some nights I'd write for a half hour, some nights for 3 hours nonstop. But since then, every night, every morning, 2 a.m. in the morning, she gets me up. Well, at that time, she said, can I call you Joseph? My middle name. Nobody's ever called me Joseph.
Okay.
And what am I going to say? What am I going to say? No, right? So I said,
right.
Of course you can. But then I said, would you mind if I called you Maggie? And I said, I know Maggie's not a nickname for Magdalena. I always like the name Maggie. Can I call you Maggie? And she said, sure. Well, this is going to be very important here now. So this was in December, right?
Right.
3 months later, I start having big doubts about all this. I start thinking, oh, come on. You know, people are going to think I'm crazy. These aren't coming from Mary Magdalene. So I just said one morning, I said to her, I want concrete proof that these are coming from you. I said, nothing nebulous, not something that people can misinterpret. I want something that's irrefutable. Well, a day went by and nothing happened. A week went by, a month went by, nothing happened. And so I kind of forgot about it, but every morning she'd get me up at 2 a.m. and I'd keep writing these love notes. Well, in July of that year, she said, I want you to publish these. And I'm thinking,
and what did you call the publication? What would you call the book that you published where she told you to? What was the title?
Well, we didn't call it anything. We were calling these love notes love notes from Maggie. I was just writing them down on yellow legal pads. hadn't really come up with a name. She just out of the blue, she said, I want you to publish them. And she didn't say anything else.
Okay.
And she said, I want you to publish them under Joseph, under the name Joseph. So I'm thinking, okay, all right, if I'm going to publish these, I better get some testimonials. So I'm thinking, well, I can't let my friends read these because they're just going to say nice things about them. You know, I want some honest. I went on this website that has thousands of people that just offer different services, like graphic design and stuff. And I thought, well, maybe I can find some people here that I can pay to read. Read them, and if they want to give me a testimonial, they can. And there were so many people, I just decided to go through the pictures. So because I'm very visual, so I'm just going through the pictures pretty fast, and I come across this picture of a woman, and it stops me. And all the information is her name is Angelina, what she offers to do. And so, which wasn't what I needed, but something told me to contact her. So I sent her an email, and I told her, I said, I just had some poems. I just said poems, nothing else, that I'd like to pay you to read. I'll pay you for your time to read them. I'm not going to pay you for a testimonial, but if you're inclined to give me a testimonial, I would appreciate it, but you're not obligated to. And she wrote back and she said, well, no, that's not what I do. So you would think I would move on to someone else, right? But something told me to stay with her.
Right.
So we went back and forth for 3-4 days. And finally, I think just out of exasperation, she wrote me. She said, okay, send me some. So I sent her a sampling. And when I sent her these samplings, that's when I told her the story about Mary Magdalene. And me calling her Maggie, that these are love notes from Maggie. And the next day I get an email from her. And it goes, Joseph, I have to tell you this. I love these love notes, but I have to tell you. Everybody knows me as Angelina. Because that's the name my father gave me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up in Greece, everybody called me by my middle name, and only my very best friends called me Maggie.
Wow!
And I looked back down on her at her name on the screen, Angelina, Angel, Ina.
Mm-hmm,
I'm thinking
right.
This. Oh my God, this must be an angel for Maggie. This is the burning bush. And so I wrote back and I said, wait, Maggie's not a nickname for Magdalena, is it? Because I wanted to make sure. She said, no, it's not. But one of my friends called me Maggie one day and I liked it. So it stuck with me. We kind of became friends and we every few days we would communicate. And after about a month, I get this another email from her, and it goes, Joseph, like big letters, right? Something else. Said, you're not going to believe this, so I'm going to send you proof. My name is Angelina because that's the name my father wanted to give me. But my mother wanted to name me Mary, and Mary is on my birth certificate. My name is Mary Magdalena.
Get out.
And she sent me a copy of her she sent me a copy of her passport to prove it.
Oh my goodness.
Every time I tell it right now I'm getting, you know, tingling goosebumps. That's my burning bush. So what the reason for this story and for your listeners is when you start going for your dream, you're always going to have doubts. That's the role of the ego, EGO. That's an acronym meaning edging God out. The ego is going to give you very rational reasons why you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. So it's always doubt and fear. So what I want to emphasize to your listeners is, even with these experiences that I had, doubt. That's why they kept that story about doubting Thomas in the Bible.
Right.
Because it's so significant. It's so significant that the ego will always talk you out of going after your dream, unless you learn how to deal with it. Now, I used to fight the ego. And if you fight the ego, you're always going to lose. So what I've done is I've befriended the ego. So every time the ego, which is every day, now I say thank you for reminding me to drop back into my heart and listen to my heart. So now ego's become a friend.
Joseph, we're going to talk a little bit more about that momentarily. But we're going to have to take a real small break and come back.
We have a break? Okay.
But I got a lot of questions now. Ooh-wee.
Controversial. Real. Unparalleled. Author is Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and author. Controversial, real, unparalleled. Author is Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, CreateSpace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave you.
Don't let me be lonely tonight. Say goodbye and say hello. It sure is good to see you, and it's time to go. Don't wanna be lonely tonight.
Unmask, and that tune was a oldie but goodie. It's called Don't Let Me Be Lonely by James Taylor. And I just want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east to west who's tuning in on this Friday evening. And, you know, I just got a couple of questions for Joseph before we run out of time. You know, number one, first I want to acknowledge that I am so glad that you were able to get past molestation, because there's so many people out there suffering. Now they have PTSD, you know, or different mental things because they didn't get the help that they needed, and they're still broken individuals as adults. Mm-hmm. You know, number two, I want to acknowledge that I believe that they are angels because I believe in God and they're God's messengers. And number three, I want to say that you lucky bastard. How come you get to see him more than everybody else do?
Well, you know, I often ask that, and I think it's because I'm probably I probably need it more than everyone else does.
Oh, bless your heart. But that's something, because, you know.
Well, she's been knowingly now with connecting the dots with me since that day in Nogales, Arizona, when I was 8 years old.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Because I didn't know.
From my Bible study, I've been told that Mary Magdalene was very close to Jesus Christ. There's a lot of rumors out there. Some people are trying to say that, you know, they were closer than close and maybe had a child by Jesus. I don't know.
Right.
Have she ever shared any biblical facts with you other than personal reassurance that you're going to be all right?
No. Every time Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene have come to me, it's all, and Maggie's with me every morning, it's always secular. There's no religious connection whatsoever. And in fact, they're very playful and very sensual. And I think the reason for that is to send a message, at least to me, about the hang-ups people have with sexuality and the love and the human body, you know. So she's never said any, never been specific. But when I was with them together, at the Mission San Luis Rey, it was very evident that Mary Magdalene was, you know, I don't want to say in charge or higher, you know, because that doesn't exist. Yeah, that doesn't exist in that realm. But it was it was very clear to me that Mother Mary was giving deference to Mary Magdalene. So, but you know where they're at, there's no hierarchy or anything like that. So it's all love. That's
a sure question.
And that's one of the.
Yeah. And I'm really serious, Joseph. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be funny. But since you state that you talk to Maggie, you know, every day, and then sometime periodically you see Mother Mary, and this is all jokes aside, you know, when you talk to either one of them ladies, could you do me a special favor? And that favor is my mom just moved down here Wednesday, and she's got the beginning of dementia, Alzheimer's, and I know God can do all things but fail. Could you ask them to put in my heart and in my mind the love that I need to deal with, you know, dealing with her issues, and maybe get rid of that stuff, because there's people who live to be in their 90s and have clear thought. Could he regulate her thinking process and make her the strong woman she's been? And also, could they bless us collectively, me and her? Because I got like I said, I got my autobiography out there with Lionsgate, and I'm still waiting to hear some great news. But could they just bless my circumstance and just make me be the best person I can be and the patient person that I need to be as I go through this walk with my mother, and hopefully reverse the forgetfulness and make her mind sharp like it was when she was young. I sure would appreciate it, because there's nothing special about me, but I love this woman and I want the best for her, so I need to be the best that I can be. And if you're talking to Maggie every day, or in no disrespect, Mary Magdalene, please ask her, you know, I'm asking for a favor on my behalf.
Well, yeah, just you voicing it, it's been asked. So.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Been asked, and
well, we get into the time in the show that we kind of running out of time, and like I said, I need to get you back, because the world needs to understand that God is real, and you're lucky, like I said.
Well,
let me
tell your listeners how they can get free love notes. We call them love notes for your soul now. We originally called them love notes from Maggie, but now we call them love notes for your soul. But if they go to my website, it's lovenotesforyoursoul.com, and up in the upper left, there's a tab, free thank you gifts. If they click on that, they can sign up for a weekly. They come out every Sunday, as of right now. Every Sunday, they can sign up for to get a free love note. And they can also get us signed up to get what I call an alchemical breathing technique, which helps them if they're in an off mood or depressed or something. It's a technique I developed, a simple technique, breathing technique that will help them raise that vibration and get out of that mood. So that's at lovenotesforyoursoul.com. They would like. Just for your listeners, I have a special discounted price for the digital copy of The Power of Angels. If they'd like to get that, they can go to josephconfidential.com, and that will connect them to that site. And if they would like a personally inscribed paperback edition of The Power of Angels, now, what I mean by that is if they will email me and give me their name, Maggie will give me a love note that I'll inscribe in the book. There's no extra cost for that. All they do is pay for the book and the tax and the shipping. But there's no I just do that as a gift for people listening.
Send me a PayPal invoice. I want an autographed copy of the hardcover so I can visually see it. I'm a hands-on kind of person. Yeah.
Okay. Well it's a paperback, not hardcover. Paperback.
Oh, well, I know it's paperback, but I still want a visual copy that I can touch in my hands.
But if any of your listeners want that, they can email me at joseph@loveyourselfwealthy.com. And that will come directly to me, because In order to do that inscription, the books have to come directly from me, not from Amazon or mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble or any place. So if they
right.
want that inscribed copy, they have to contact me directly. And and they can do that through the website as well. Contact me directly. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Well, let me tell you, Joseph, you got to come back, because anybody who got all these books out and about totaling them up, you'll be having 20, some still in the fire and some already published. I am looking forward to that, and I want to get more in depth with the relationship between angels and people here, because my personal belief, Joseph, I believe that we're in the last days. And even though I joke and cut up and that crazy, on the real deal, you know, I want to try to give people some hope, you know, to help them while they're going through, because things are a mess globally as well as right here at home. And I don't care to discuss politics, but I see that the signs that's in the Bible of unrest is around us. There's no respect of people or person, children killing their family members. There's just no, it's a shameless society. And God is going to come back, and he's tired, because people are tired of going through. So we need to get you back and talk more about the angels so we can prick someone's heart, because there's a lot of people out there whose spiritual soul is hardened, and they need to know that God can do all things, you know, for those who want them to be helped. You know, he can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, you know, Philippians 4:13. And I just want to give hope, you know, and your life is about hope. And I didn't get a chance to touch on the thing about, you know, you wearing the gi, and that's another story, because it's only an hour show now. So please, please, please let me get you back. Now, if you want to come back at the end of this month, we got to do a part two, because I need to get more in-depth with what you're talking about. We didn't even touch on the wealthy getting money and everything, but it's just, it's so much that I, you know, when I talk to you, I just got to get it out there.
I'll be happy to come back anytime. So we'll set that up. And
well, let me tell you this. We ain't got to set it up. We can give you right now. May 26th.
Okay, let me. May 26th, okay, that's the same time, Friday. Okay, same
mm-hmm.
time. Okay, we'll do it. We'll do a part two, and we might even have to do a part three, but whatever helps your listeners, I'll be happy to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, I appreciate you, and I thank you for spending that time to enlighten and share, you know, and If I could, I'm giving you a virtual hug, you know. And for all the people out there who's been listening, that's going through something or has been molested, you know, it's not your fault. You were the victim. You know, people always want to blame themselves because they don't understand why they was picked. And some people, they try to gain weight or try to look ugly, thinking that if they look ugly, then nobody will want to touch them or any further and hurt them. But, you know, that mental unrest that goes on, some people become promiscuous because they don't understand.
Right.
You know, and just like people
yeah.
assume, it's not just females that's getting molested, it's boys, you know. And I got grandsons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we need to stop the madness. And if we see something out of order, we need to step up and speak up and do something about it, because the children are our responsibility. And I ain't playing with that thing. I don't care whether you related to me or not. If I see something that's going on that's ugly, I'm going to get loud with it. I'm going to flex. You know, I'm going to treat that child like that child is mine. And we need to be more focused on trying to help one person, one child, one heart at a time, and stop acting like that ain't my problem. That ain't, I don't know these people. And that's the problem. We have gotten disconnected, and that's why everything is all messed up.
Well, you know, of all places, you'd think you'd be safe in a library, right? And
exactly.
And but that's where I was molested. It can happen anywhere. It's pervasive. It's
mm-hmm.
Well, just look at the Catholic Church. I mean, you know,
exactly.
it's covered up. These protected.
Yep. Look at them kids, you know, murdering women.
So,
who would have thought that? You know, it's just messed up.
Yeah.
We live in a messed up society.
Yeah. Maybe I think it's just more in the news now. But you know, compared to 100 years ago, I mean, I think we've come a long way. You know, we have kids aren't working in mines anymore, well, at least in this country, you know.
Right.
So society has, and, you know, the Russian, the USSR is broken up. I mean, you know, during that time, Stalin and Mao and, you know, Hitler, all those people were just exterminating people. And so I think we've come a long way to eliminate that. But we still have a long ways to go. And,
thank you. And we're running out of time.
Yeah. But okay. Well, we'll be back on the 26th and we'll do part two.
26th of May. Everybody listening, if you didn't get it all, you can go to the archives and listen to what we did tonight. But come back May 26th, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Central Time, 5:30 Mountain Time, and 4:30 Pacific Coast. Listen to this guy, you know, because he's going to bring to you something that we all ain't privileged to know, to have an interaction with angels and communicating, not just knowing that there's some people that you know they're angels, but, you know, oof, my Lord. But we're going to take it home right now. Thank you for agreeing to come back for part two and maybe a part three, because it all has not been said. It's not done. And we're going to get to the meat of all of this, because angels do exist. Joseph, thank you so very much for being on the show. And I'll
thank
see
you,
Terry. In 2 weeks, Marilyn, anytime.
Okay.
So we're taking it home with Halls and Oates. She's gone, you know. Be safe out there. It's Friday night. Don't drink and drive.
Bye-bye.
Bye, darling.
There can never be.